is a significant problem for many people, and great loss is caused by drought. Increase in development and population can lead to the decline in availability of fresh irrigation water, and natural drought events. Late October 2007 is an extreme example of a drought event that occurred. The turfgrass industry is one that is greatly affected by drought. Drought causes a great decline in turf quality and playability, and a great loss of aesthetic and economic value occurs. Creeping bentgrass is a species that is greatly susceptible to drought stress. Commercially available cultivars do not have adequate drought tolerance, so they greatly will benefit from additional breeding. There are many strategies available to improve the breeding of bentgrass species. Biotechnology, or the genetic modification using transgenics, traditional breeding using phenotypic selection, and marker-assisted breeding using quantitative trait loci. And this latter method, marker-assisted breeding, is thought to be the most efficient in terms of time and labor, and also it is not as controversial as other methods such as developing transgenics. So due to these reasons, this study looked at developing quantitative trait loci for creeping bentgrass. Drought tolerance is a quantitative trait and is controlled by many genes with small effects or additive effects. There is a continuous range of phenotypes observed within a population. And so after during QTL analysis, quantitative traits are associated with molecular markers or chromosomal locations. And marker-assisted selection is a way to quickly screen germplasm and improve selection efficiency. So in order to locate QTLs, a genetic mapping population of bentgrass is required. Unfortunately, due to the work of others at Rutgers, such as Bonos et al., we had a mapping population available to us. And this population was generated by crossing L93 and 74183 creeping bentgrass to develop F2 population. And we also fortunately had a genetic linkage map already made, which was developed by using SSR markers. So since we already had this population, preliminary data showed that the population, there is great variation in drought tolerance within the population, and that is that's a necessary thing when you are trying to locate QTLs. Each parent has to be different for the trait, and there has to be variation within the population. So the 74183 parent, shown here, had relatively more drought tolerance ratings than the L93 parent. So since we saw this variation within the population, we knew we could use this population to screen for QTLs. And in addition to the drought tolerance ratings, we wanted to screen other physiological traits to see if they showed genetic variation in the population and segregated. So our other objective was to identify QTL markers for drought tolerance in creeping bentgrass. So just briefly, the plant material we used was L93 and 74183, and as I said, we used the F2 population, and we used 5 reps for treatment. And on those plants, we exposed them to drought stress, and that was water was completely withheld for 21 days, and we also had well-watered controls when they were watered to field capacity daily, and this was done in a greenhouse. So on these plants, we measured several different traits. First was turf quality on the normal scale of 1 to 9, with 9 being healthy turf and 1 being desiccated brown turf. Cell membrane stability was measured by determining the electrolyte leakage from leaf cells using a conductivity meter. The cellular hydration status was determined by measuring the relative water content of the leaves. Water use efficiency was measured by a carbon isotope discrimination analysis method, and osmotic adjustment was measured by a differential method after measuring osmotic potential of both well-watered and drought-stressed leaves using a vapor pressure osmometer. The design layout that we had was a split plot with water as the main plot and genotype as a subplot. And then for QTL analysis, the software JoinMap was used to create the map, and MapQTL was used to do further QTL analysis with the quantitative data that I took. So to explain a little bit about what MapQTL does, the Kruskal-Wallis analysis method gives you a K-star value, which is a test statistic that tells you the likelihood of the QTL, whether the marker that the method is testing is closely linked to the QTL. Interval mapping is also performed by MapQTL software, and it gives you a LAD score, which is a likelihood value for each location on the chromosome. So how it tells you how likely it is for a QTL to be at that location. And an R-squared value gives you the percent explained variation in the population due to that locus or that marker. Also, MapQTL software does automated cofactor selection and MQM mapping. They're similar to interval mapping, but they allow the software to focus in on regions that are known as cofactors. And the permutation test is performed to determine a LAD threshold, which gives you an indication of the significance level for each LAD score determined with interval mapping. And I'll show you in the graphs. So some of the results that we saw, we did see that genetic variation that we saw in the preliminary data. Some of the plants are very healthy and some are sort of declining, and then some are completely desiccated during the drought treatment. So after all the QT analysis was performed, no significant QTLs were found on the more drought-sensitive parent, L93. However, 7 QTLs were found on the map of the more drought-tolerant parent, 7418-3. And in the literature, QTLs are classified based on how significant they are and how minor or major they are. And significance is termed highly significant, or suggestive. And for the minor, and that's determined by the LAD score. For the minor and major ranking, that's based on the percent explained variation, and that's based on whether the R-squared value is less than or greater than 10. So for our results, 4 significant QTLs were found, and of those, 3 were minor, and 1 was major. And these were 1 for relative water content, 2 for electrolyte leakage, and 1 for turf quality. The other ones that I found were suggestive QTLs, 1 for relative water content, 1 for water use efficiency, and 1 for osmotic adjustment. So here is the graph that was developed by, the genetic linkage map of the creeping bentgrass 74183 drought tolerant parent. The 14 groups that you see here correspond, are linkage groups that correspond to the 14 chromosomes in creeping bentgrass. The linkage groups that I found QTLs on are groups 1, 7, 8, and 9. So to go through each one specifically, electrolyte leakage maps to group, traits for electrolyte leakage map to group 1. And on these slides, all the rest of these are going to be the same. So I'll just go through this table and the graph right here, and then the rest I'll just explain for each one. It shows you the group, the linkage group, the position where a possible QTL, and this arrow indicates this locus, the marker locus that I show in the table. The K-star value, degrees of freedom, significance based on Kruskal-Wallis, the LAD score, and the R-squared value. So for this one, a possible QTL is here. It's a minor QTL, but it is significant. Interestingly, electrolyte leakage and relative water content map to the same location on group 8. They were highly significant by Kruskal-Wallis, and one of them might be a major QTL since it had a pretty high LAD score. The one for relative water content that mapped to group 8 might be a minor QTL, but it was still significant. Turf quality and relative water content also, interestingly, mapped to the same location of the same chromosome. You can see the graphs look very similar, and this was on group 7. So As you can see, the turf quality has a peak here that's greater than the LOD threshold of 3.2. And the relative water content, since this one did not cross the LOD threshold, it's just a suggestive QTL. But I show it because it's pretty interesting because it maps to the same location. And also, very similarly, for osmotic adjustment and water use efficiency, these QTLs were significant. However, by the LOD score, they were only suggestive. So I included them for illustrative purposes because, again, they look very similar. So this will be interesting to see how it pans out. So electrolyte leakage, this map shows all the stacked QTLs, possible QTLs. Electrolyte leakage here on group 1 and relative water content and turf quality mapped to the same region on group 7, as I said. Relative water content and electrolyte leakage mapped to group 8, and the suggestive QTLs for osmotic adjustment and water use efficiency mapped to group 9. as I said, it's pretty interesting that these traits are mapping to the same location. It means they could possibly be due to the same genes or same group of genes, and they might regulate each other. And physiologically, it makes sense because if you have a high relative water content and low electrolyte leakage, it would correlate to a high turf quality. And we saw this in previous data that was taken in our lab. And high osmotic adjustment may trigger increased cellular water use efficiency by gene regulation. So if they're on the same location, they're easier to control each other. So to conclude, significant QTLs were identified for turf quality, relative water content, and electrolyte leakage, and also the suggestive QTLs were for osmotic adjustment and water use efficiency. And these results hopefully will help to narrow down the large genome, since it has 14 chromosomes, to 4 regions for use in breeding for these drought tolerance traits. And QTLs located in the same region may be extremely useful as molecular markers for marker-assisted selection, because if you only have to screen for a certain marker instead of many for all the different traits, it'll be much easier to do in the lab and for other lab purposes. So future research we would like to do, since this was a greenhouse study, we'd like to confirm the QTLs in the field, and we have the facilities to do this with, the rainout shelter. And hopefully we'll be able to develop more markers to complete the map. And this might actually help the LOD score values become higher and more significant as you find markers that are closely linked. And also, high-resolution mapping can be done to identify specific genes so we can narrow down and focus on just that region. And also, on a broader scale, other researchers will be able to hopefully use this data for comparative mapping or analysis of synteny for studies of gene evolution in other species, such as rice. And to acknowledge, I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Bingru Huang, and the advisement of Dr. Stacy Bonos, and funding from the USGA and the Rutgers Center for Turfgrass Science. Thank you.
Any questions for Emily?
Yeah. Yep. I have not done synteny analysis. The genome data for other grass species is actually pretty limited. The most QTL studies that I've seen, they're mainly on rice and wheat, but I have not done the synteny analysis yet.
Any other questions for Emily? Okay, thank you.
So this is break time. This concludes our talks for now. But before we break, are there any other questions for some of the other speakers that maybe we didn't have time for? Yes. Jason, are you still around?
Yes.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Go right ahead.
Actually, we simulated wear tolerance on four different dates. There was the initial, which was 2005, October 28, 2005, June 16th, 2006, which was a very important date because that was the date I was married on. I can still remember my wife saying to me, "What are you doing this morning?" And then it was again in June 17th, 2007. Go right ahead. Yes, we did, but due to the limitation of time here, I didn't get into that, but we did find that since the velvets were able to handle the initial wear, they recovered that much faster.
If you look at the, there were some pre-events that were higher than some of them. If you look at the same sort of parameters for those pre-events, the higher rated creepers versus lower rated creepers?
No, we didn't. We just looked at the bottom